Amen. Well, I'm going to ask Eloy to come and just deliver God's word. And you got a tough act to follow. God's spirit was here. Well, let's pray for Eloy. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our brother. I thank you, Lord, that he's been called, Lord. And the calling of God is without repentance. And I just pray right now, Lord, that you will just anoint him, Lord, with the words from your holy word. Lord, we will open our hearts as a congregation and listen and receive because you're talking to us. And there's action that we need to take based on the word of God. So, Lord, I just pray that you open our hearts and we receive and lead Eloy into the next few minutes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we serve a good God. He's amazing. Before I get started with my sermon this morning, I was going to do this last week, but I forgot. I want to tell Mark Gonzalez, that we're proud of you as a church. You know, being a sophomore, meaning winning district and a regional qualifier, so I want to say we're proud of you. Okay, all right, so with that being said, can you play the video, please? I have a video for y'all this morning before I start my sermon.
My mom would be at all my sporting events. Let's say I was playing football. My mother would be on the sidelines, and let's say the action on the field went one way. My mother would run along with it. She's like, Mark, get on! I'd be like, oh my gosh. I'd be on the field, we get in the huddle with the guys. They go, Mark, is that your mother? I go, no, I never saw her before in my life. But seriously, some of you guys can relate to that. My mom, she really empowered me to become special in sports. See, the greatest gift my mother ever gave me, she believed in me. I've overdosed on drugs on three occasions where I should have been dead, but I believe I was kept here for a reason. You show me your friends, I will show you your future. How do I know this? Because I hung out with losers, I became the biggest loser of them all because I gave up everything I dreamt about as a little boy because of who I chose to surround myself with. My friends would drive me home at 2, 3, 4 in the morning. We'd be drunk and high in the car. We'd pull up in front of my house, my buddies would go, Mark, the light's on. I go, oh man, my mother's up. See, my mom wouldn't go to bed until she knew her son was still alive. I'd walk in, she'd say, hi Mark, how was your night? I go, it was good, Mom, I'm just gonna go to bed. She goes, can I talk to you just for a minute? I go, Mom, I'm tired, I'm just gonna go to bed. She goes, Mark, I haven't seen you all day and all night. Can I please talk to you? I go, man, just leave me alone. You bug me. I'd slam my bedroom door on the one person who believed in me. I was on a worldwide tour and I was wrestling overseas in Japan. After my wrestling match, I went upstairs to my hotel and I fell asleep. There was a knock at my door at 3 o'clock in the morning. I got out of bed, I looked through the safety window of the hotel door, and I could see it was a Japanese promoter. So I opened the door and he said, "Mark, you need to call home. There's been an emergency." So I got on the hotel room phone. I called back to the United States. I said, "Hey, what's going on?" He said, "Mark, I don't know how to tell you this." I go, "Just tell me what happened." All of a sudden, he started crying. They go, "Mark, I can't tell you. Just say it." He said, "Mark, your mother died." I just threw the phone down. I ran out of my hotel room. I took the elevator to the lobby. When the doors opened up, I just ran out into the street. And I remember looking up and just saying, "Mom, I am so sorry." I flew home for her funeral, and I was so nervous to walk up to her casket. So I just stood way in the back. I remember just kept thinking to myself, I'm like, "Mom, please wake up. Please get up." And then I finally got the nerve to walk up to her, and she was so beautiful. She was dressed in white. I mean, she looked like an angel. I said, "Mom, you are my hero. Everything I am, everything I hope to be was because of you. You loved me so much. You gave me a life. You worked 2 jobs. You're the only one that ever believed in me. How did I repay her? By getting drunk? By getting high? By getting stupid? By hanging out with losers? For what? All she ever wanted to do was talk to me. If you have a mother or a father, tell them how much you love them. See, my whole life was about being rich and famous. That's all I cared about. I had to win the race. I had to win the race at the expense of my marriage, my family, my friends. For what? To be all alone in this world? That's not how it's intended to be. Life is not about winning the race. Life is about finishing the race. And how many people we can all help finish this race. How we can start being kinder to each other. How we can help the students that are going through adversity right now. How we can stop with the name calling and hurting other people. Because in the end, it may be you that needs help to finish the race. Because I learned what is truly important. And that is how precious this gift of life is. And how quickly it can be taken away. See, I no longer live in time. I live in moments. I'm not worried about tomorrow. See, it's not what's in your pocket that matters. It's what's in your heart that truly matters. Love is just a word until somebody comes along and gives it meaning. You are the meaning.
The title of my sermon this morning is that we're messengers for God. And I showed the video because I wanted to tie it in with the ending of what he said. Until someone comes along and brings meaning to the word love. You know, and his point was about his mother, you know. But the point that I want to use it is the Lord Jesus Christ, when he gave us that love. When someone along our path showed us that love, and I'm so grateful, and I say this time and time again, I get an opportunity to preach. I'm so grateful for Pastor Green and Sister Green. As I was a young man, I came to this church. I was hurting, looking for love, looking for purpose in my own life, in my own. I needed guidance, and I'm so grateful for you. But my message to this morning is we're messengers for God, until someone comes along and brings meaning to the world, to the word love. My foundational scriptures for this morning are in Romans chapter 10, verse 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. The word of God reads, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Verse 14, "How then can they
how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accept the good news. For Isaiah says, the Lord who has believed our message. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. How can they hear about Christ if we don't share about what's in our heart to the people that are hurting, your friends, your family? How can they hear it? It's not the pastor's job to go save the world. It's the body of Christ coming together to tell them that there is a better way to go. That they don't have to continue going on the path that leads to destruction. That there is a better life. That there is the life that is blessed. There is a life that, you know, where God does miracles. There is a life where people are getting saved and delivered. And who does that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Simply, we just share a message. We're not going to win them all. As I'm learning, I'm not going to win all my students. But, you know, our job is just to share a simple message to them. And it's up to them. The Word of God says it's some plant, some water, but God does the increase. Just sharing a simple message. But you know what the best message is? Your life. Your life will speak for itself. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. The Word of God reads, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Have a little footnote here, and it talks about what's beautiful feet about. What's beautiful about feet? Isaiah pictured a city anxiously awaiting the news of the outcomes of a battle. The feet of the runner who brought good news were beautiful. Here the good news pertained to the return from exile. Paul quoted this verse in Romans 10:15 in reference to those who proclaim the good news of Christ's deliverance from the captivity of sin. That's what it's talking about. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Messengers for God. Psalms 53, verse 1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. God looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Everyone has turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. I want to focus on verse 2 again. I want to read that scripture again. God looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. God is still looking for to and fro to share this message. Once again, we're messengers for God. Our message is not to win the world. We're not. We need each other. We need the body of Christ. That team, there's a together, everyone achieves more. It's working together as a team for a common good. For, you know what? There is souls out there that are hurting. If we would come together as a church, as a body of Christ, man, we will see something beautiful happen in this town. Yeah, I get, it annoys me when they say this is ghost town. I hate that. I'm sorry I said the word hate. But you know what? This is God's town. You know, I grew up here, and God brought me here for a reason, for a purpose, you know. But you know what? It's about coming together, worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, of how great we are because of what he's done for us. Coming together, worshiping corporately, the power of God will fall, reside. But you know, it's not just bringing it here, it's taking it to your home. To me, it's when a couple prays together, a husband and a wife and their children, that is an explosive for the family. You know, and working with teenagers, it's hard. I mean, I have my days where I just lose it. But you know what? I only see them for an hour. Who knows what their home life is? But he would take this worship together and pray for your children. Because it's hard out there. It's not getting any easier, people. The days are getting darker and darker. The Bible says it's going to get worse. But that's why we got to pray for our children. We got to pray for our teenagers. They're being exposed to so much out there. They're losing their innocence. And I've seen this when I worked at elementary. Oh, man, it was just, they bring you something for teacher appreciation and energy. You're like, no, hombre. No te voy a traer nada, sir. Ah, pues no, no me traigo nada, nomás. But my point is that you see something happen from fifth grade to sixth grade. And it's because I care. It's hard. But once again, we're messengers for God. Psalms 104, verse 4. The word of God reads, he makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. Come on, somebody. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. We are his servants. He adds a fire in us to share a message. Despite whatever might be going through our lives, you know what? I'm just still sharing what this person's going through. Even though I'm going through turmoil in my own personal life, maybe share a message of hope to this individual, that to know that there is a better way to go. You know, preaching about Christ or sharing a message of hope to somebody that's hurting is a better feeling. No better feeling than serving the Lord. I can tell you that with all the confidence that's in my heart. There's no better feeling to know that you are where God wants you to be. To know that you have a purpose in your life. There's no better feeling to know that. That no matter what happened in life, you know what, God? I know you have something ahead of me. I know I'm going to get this through. I'm going to get through this storm. Because you have promised me, Lord, that you will never leave me nor forsake me. I might not understand it, but I'm still holding on to you. There's a world out there that's hurting that needs to hear what God has done for you. The beautiful thing about God, like when God gets a hold of you, you touch the ones you can, and the ones God will use you because you know how it feels to be in that place. Be able to help those maybe your coworkers or your friend or your family. Maybe your family makes fun of you. It's all good. They call me preacher man. I'm like, oh, that's okay. My cousins, hey, pastor, hey, preacher man, that's okay. Keep bringing it. You're confessing it over my life. You know, but with that being said, with my own family, these two Thanksgivings, they've asked me to pray.
That means a lot to me. That means a lot to me. Because I love my family dearly. And I'm still fighting for them in prayer. Because they've seen me. They know. Once again, your life will speak for itself. You don't need to impress anybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. The word of God reads. Brothers and sisters, think of what you war when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolishness things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one
Let the one who boast in the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 1. And so it is with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with elegance or human wisdom. I proclaimed to the testimony of God. This is Paul speaking. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and great fear and trembling. My message, remember, we're messengers for God. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Acts 1:8 says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power from heaven. Just turn there. Let me read it to you. Acts 1:8. Not on my notes, by the way. But here we go. Here we go. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He will give you the ability to share the message of hope. He will give you the strength despite whatever you may be going through or going through at the current moment. He will give you that simple message that, you know what, I want to help this person. No matter what's going on in my personal life, I want to share to this family member, to this friend or co-worker that, you know what, Jesus loves you. Whatever you're going through, I want you to share with you that God is with you, whatever you're going through. And you might not even know what they're going through. And tears might be flowing through. It's like, how did you know that? I just felt a nudge in my spirit that, you know what? This is what's going on. We make it too complicated. Too complicated. When you know what God's done for you, that's enough. Paul was saying that I didn't come with you with human wisdom. I came to you with the Spirit of God. But what he's done. I just thank God that God saved a knucklehead like me. A cabezón. Pues esto hizo cabezón a veces. Pero doy gracias a Dios. We're all working. God's still working on all of us. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7. So my grandma would say que era bien cabezón. Pues todavía. Que Dios me ayude. God help me. Jeremiah chapter 20. Verse 7. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I'm ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak anymore in his name. His word is like fire. His word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. There's that word again, fire. This is Jeremiah speaking again. He's known as the weeping prophet. But if I say when I mention his word or speak anymore in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary, which means tired. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. He adds that. It's not in your own ability. The word of God says it's not my mind nor power. It is by his Spirit, says the Lord. He adds that to your heart. A fire shut up in my bones. No matter what I'm going through, Lord, I'm still going to continue serving you. The sad thing is when someone says, I give up. When a person loses hope, it's hard to bring that person back. But if you continue serving the Lord, no matter what, I guarantee you that it's going to get better. You're not going to be stuck in the same rut. You're not. It's going to get better. Continue fighting. Never, never give up. When a person gives up, they've thrown in the towel already. But God, even that, God is so merciful. He continues bringing people along our path to speak a message of hope. Don't give up. We're messengers for God. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. You hang in there. Because we serve a good, good Father. We serve a God of purpose. We serve a God that's still alive in the throne. This word says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still setting people free. Still, people are still coming to Christ. God's not done. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, he's faithful to complete the work he has started in our hearts. His word also says that I'm the head and not the tail, that I'm blessed coming in and blessed coming out, that I'm above and not beneath. The word of God says that I am more than a conqueror through the blood of Jesus. I am redeemed out of the hand of Satan. I'm cleansed continually from all sins. I'm justified, made righteous through faith. I'm sanctified, made holy, and set apart to God. I'm free from the fear of hell and death. I am forgiven, and all my sins are forgotten. I know Satan's a bluff and a liar. Satan has no place, no power. No settled claims against me on the cross. The battle's won. Satan was made public display. I have authority over the powers of darkness. I fear nothing. I have the same power in me that rose Jesus from the dead. Jesus and his power are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are messengers for God. You hang in there. It's going to get better. Can I have Michelle come up? Okay, I'm sorry. Ronnie, can you please come up? Alyssa, can you come up, please, to help me pray? I don't know what you're going through. My simple message this morning that you are messengers from God. Only you know what you're going through. But I'm here this morning to tell you that it's going to get better. God is looking to and for all who's going to share this message of hope. Because this is what it is. It's a message of hope. Everyone can please bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to open up the altar. We would love to pray for you. So whatever you're going through this morning, the altar's open. We're here to pray for you. You've been here this morning. God's been in the house. His Spirit is here. So whatever you're going through, you wouldn't want to agree with us. The Bible says that there's power in agreement. Open it up with the altar. We need prayer this morning.